God brought you through 2018. Anybody grateful for that? Amen. We are here to worship the Lord. We are here to study God's Bible. We are here to praise God and to express our gratefulness to the Lord. Someone say amen to that.
Amen.
I want to kind of encourage you and challenge you that today we're going to start a new series for the next 8 weeks on Sunday, and we're going to be studying from the subject, Pressing Into the Kingdom. Someone say, Pressing Into the Kingdom. And I really believe that we're going to be teaching some important truths that are going to help kind of set you up for a breakthrough year. Anybody need a breakthrough year? Amen. I wrote a prayer. I put it in the study guide. And I want to give you this prayer to pray throughout this month. It's a kingdom prayer that's rooted in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm just going to say it, but I want to encourage you to take this with you, put it in your Bible, put it in your room. And I want to encourage you to say this prayer throughout the month. And this is what it says. It says, Lord, I pray that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, that I may know your calling and what is the glorious riches of the inheritance you give to your holy people. I really want to just kind of give you that as a gift. It's something the Lord put on my heart the last couple of days. I found it in Ephesians chapter 1, I believe verse 18. And as we start this series on pressing into the kingdom of God, I really challenge you to say this prayer throughout the month. And I want to encourage you to start 2019 strong by being in the house of the Lord. I really believe that this series that we're going to be going through for the next 7 weeks is going to be the most important series that I have taught in the life of our six-year-old church. I don't know if you realize it or not, but our church is 6 years old, and so we're just a toddler. I got a four-year-old daughter, so we're just a toddler, and this subject of the kingdom of God is so important because it is an overarching theme of the entire Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. The kingdom of God is what Jesus was born for. It was what he lived for. It is what he died for. And ultimately what he rose from the grave for. And I don't know if you know this or not, but there is a royal revolution going on in our generation. There's a royal revolution, and the kingdom of God is breaking out in our generation. And depression is being overthrown. Failure is being overthrown. And God is healing our wounds, and he's giving us a testimony about his power and his glory. Anybody excited about what God is doing in your life? And so I want to encourage you to bring your Bibles on Sundays. I want to encourage you to bring an open and a hungry heart. How many know if you want to experience something new, you've got to do something new? How many know that? If you want to experience a different harvest in your life, guess what you got to do? You got to plant new seeds. And so I'm going to be teaching some valuable lessons in the next several weeks that is going to set you up for a breakthrough year. I want you to know that I'm committed to bringing the heat on Sundays. I want you to know that. I'm committed to bringing the heat. I'm committed to challenging you. I'm committed to inspiring you. I'm committed to lighting the fire underneath you. Some of y'all won't move until I get that lighter out and I light the fire underneath you. So I'm committed to bringing the heat on Sundays, but I'm also committed to bringing the meat. Hello, somebody. How many of you know you need the heat, but you also need the meat? And so I'm committed to teaching you what the Bible says. I'm committed to teaching you important revelation, because it's not all about being pumped up, but we want you to be built up. I don't want you to walk away with just an emotional charge. I want you to walk away with a piece of your spiritual foundation built up so that you can withstand the storms of 2019. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to stand up in here and lie to you and let you know that 2019 is going to be all gravy, right? No, there's going to be some storms that hit all of our lives, and you may not be able to control what comes into your life, but you can control how you respond to that what comes into your life. Are you picking up what I put down? And if you build a strong spiritual foundation, you will be able to withstand come hell or high water. And so on Sundays, you can anticipate us by the power of the Holy Spirit bringing the heat and bringing the meat. And I'm going to use for our study together these next couple weeks, Luke chapter 16, verse 16, as a springboard for our study. Luke chapter 16, verse 16. And I'm going to read out of the NSAB version. And listen to what it says. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John." What are the law and the prophets? That's referring to the Old Testament covenant. Who is John? John is referring to John the Baptist, or Jesus's cousin. Anybody remember that? Very interesting. Jesus said that John was the greatest of the prophets. He was the greatest of the prophets. And in particular, he was great because he had one foot in the Old Testament and one foot in the New Testament. But then Jesus also said that he that is least in the kingdom of God is great identity. It is powerful. And part of my assignment this year is to help you to walk in your kingdom identity. Help you to go to work in your kingdom identity. Help you to be a mother in your kingdom identity, or be a husband in your kingdom identity. Because if you walk in your kingdom identity, you will press through whatever comes at you in 2019. Someone say amen to that. So Jesus said, "The law and the prophets were proclaimed unto John. Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached, and everyone is forcing his way into it." Wow. That seems like something exciting to about that. Listen to what Jesus says. I'm going to say it again. "Since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached." Now look at the response to the people in reference to the gospel of the kingdom of God. Look into the response. He says, "And everyone," someone say everyone, "everyone is forcing his way into it." Look at what happens when the kingdom of God breaks out in your generation. Look at what happens when the power of God is manifested in your generation. Look at what happens when the Holy Spirit has his way in your generation. People run towards it. People flock towards it. People press into it. My brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that the kingdom of God is breaking out in our generation, and we are part of this royal revolution that is dethroning depression, dethroning addiction, dethroning low self-esteem, and dethroning failure, and putting Jesus back on the throne of this world. Someone say amen to that. I just came from our Carson campus, and there was a sanctuary filled with people that were excited and anticipating God to move in their life. There's nothing like an atmosphere of anticipation, because I believe God will meet you at your level of expectation. If you expect God to move, I believe God will move in your life. And how many need God to move in your life this morning? How many need God to move in your marriage? How many need God to move in your kids' life this morning? Let's have an anticipation in 2019. Let's expect God to move in a mighty way. And I'm coming here to show up and to bring the heat and the meat. As we study this verse together today, it kind of evokes a couple questions that we need to answer in our study. And the first question that this verse kind of steers up is the question, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? Notice Jesus says that since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached. So if we are followers of Jesus Christ, we need to have at least a basic understanding of what the gospel means. Now, the Bible mentions the word gospel a lot. In fact, it is a key word in our theology, in our Christian language. In fact, I will suggest to you that the word gospel is one of the greatest words in the galaxy. So it's very important for us to understand. And as we think about what the gospel is, I want to kind of lay before your feet a couple big thoughts. And number one is that Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus preached the gospel. And you find this in Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. It says, "And Jesus went about Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel." Someone say gospel. The gospel of the kingdom. So my brothers and sisters, we have our Lord, our King, our Savior preaching what is called the gospel of the kingdom. And if we claim to be followers of Jesus, we need to know what Jesus was excited about. We need to know what he talked about. We need to know what got him up in the morning. And I want to suggest to you, it was the gospel. Someone say gospel. As we study the word gospel throughout the Bible, you'll learn also that Apostle Paul preached the gospel. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the apostle says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Man, that is a powerful verse. One of my most famous or favorite verses in my life. I want to encourage you to memorize that verse. We at Chapel of Change are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Are there any believers in the house this morning? We believe, God. We trust in you. We believe in you. And we're going to go into 2019 believing in the gospel. As we study the gospel, you'll learn that not only did Jesus teach the gospel, not only did Apostle Paul preach the gospel, you're also going to learn that Jesus taught us to proclaim the gospel to the entire world. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Jesus says, "Go into the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation." My brothers and sisters, I want to remind you that we have an assignment from heaven. And our assignment is not to watch TV all day long. Our assignment is not to go about and do this and that all day long. But our assignment is to share the gospel everywhere we go. If you're working, you need to share the gospel. If you're at school, you need to share the gospel. If you're babysitting, you need to share the gospel. If you got kids, you got to teach them the gospel. We have an assignment to carry on spreading the gospel to our generation. The reason why you're saved today is because someone shared with you the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And God forbid, woe is us if we drop the ball in our generation and we don't tell the next generation about the gospel. Someone say gospel. So as we study this question together, what is the gospel? We gotta understand what does it mean. Now let me give you the word gospel. The word gospel literally means good news. It literally means good news. I want to give you some background on this word so that you could understand the power in which we use this word gospel in the kingdom of God. The word itself literally means good news. Now follow along. It was a Roman word that was used to announce a new emperor or a new king was ruling over Rome. So follow along. The word gospel comes from the Roman Empire, and every time an emperor died, there would be a sense of worry and anxiety that would spread amongst the land because people would become in fear. They didn't know what their future held. They didn't know if they were going to survive. They didn't know if they were going to be taken care of. And so when a new emperor came onto the throne, they would send people throughout the villages to announce what they referred to as the gospel. In other words, they would say, there's a new emperor on the throne. There's a new ruler on the throne. Everything's going to be all right. We are going to be taken care of because there is a new ruler on the throne. Now follow along, my brothers and sisters, because our forefathers, the Christian men and women back in the ancient days when the Bible was first spreading throughout the Roman Empire, let me tell you what they did. They took the word gospel from the Roman Empire and they changed the meaning of their word. Are you following up? Our forefathers, our you know, Christians, men and women, they took this word gospel from the Roman Empire because we could take whatever we want to take when we're the kingdom of God, right? And they took this word and they changed the meaning of this word and they said, yes, there is a new emperor on the throne. Yes, there is a new king in town. Yes, there is a new ruler, but he's not Caesar. He is Jesus. He is Jesus. My brothers and sisters, our forefathers, man, they got gangster with them, right? And they took this word and they said, yeah, we do have a new king. We will be all right. But it's not because of Caesar. It's because of Jesus. And he is Lord and he is king. Are you following along? So they took this word and they redefined it. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, the gospel was revolutionary and explosive in the first century. When you go to study the Bible, my brothers and sisters, we cannot look at the Bible through our 2019 eyes. We have to go back and kind of understand it how they would understand it. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? The gospel was revolutionary and explosive because it radicalized people to the kingdom of God. It radicalized people to the kingdom of God. The gospel was revolutionary and explosive because it slapped Caesar in his face and he said, you do not rule over us. Our joy is not rooted in you. Our destiny is not rooted in you. It is rooted in King Jesus. And this is why the Roman Empire came against us, my brothers and sisters. They didn't mind that we were just a religion because there was millions of religions back then. But the moment we said Jesus is Lord is the moment that they felt threatened. And they unleashed the lions and they unleashed the fire and they unleashed the persecution amongst the church. But I read it somewhere that Caesar and Jesus stepped into the arena, but Jesus won. Because guess who is alive today and who no longer exists? The Roman Empire as it was back then is no more today. Bye-bye, buddy. Guess who's alive today? The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. This is why Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. That was a radical statement for Apostle Paul to make. In other words, he was slapping Caesar in the face and he didn't care what they did with him. Because he had an allegiance to the king, a loyalty to the kingdom. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So what is the gospel, my brothers and sisters? I want to give you a summary definition, a summary definition of the gospel. And I do want to let you know that you could write books on the definition of the gospel. I can give you a 3-page essay on the definition of the gospel, but I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to give you a summary definition. Someone say amen to that. Amen. Here's the summary definition I want you to write down. I want you to memorize. Here it is. The gospel is the good news of the availability of King Jesus and his kingdom. The gospel is the good news of the availability of King Jesus and his kingdom. Now, this definition covers everything Jesus did with his life, his death, and his resurrection to all that is available in the kingdom of God. Are you following along? It covers everything from what Jesus did with his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and all that is available in the kingdom of God. Now, let me remind us this morning that through Jesus' sacrificial atonement, we are saved, we are sealed, and sanctified. Anybody excited about Jesus today? We are saved, sealed, and sanctified. I'm redeemed, clean, sanctified, born again, tongue-talking, word-confessing Christian. Right? Jesus, through his atonement, right? Through his atonement, his sacrificial atonement on the cross, he offers us the salvation of our souls. We're saved, we're sealed, we're sanctified, not sacrificed, but sanctified, and we're in the hands of the Father, and no one can pluck us out. No one can pluck us out, and we celebrate that. We celebrate that. But this is what I want you to get, my brothers and sisters. The gospel begins with our salvation, but it doesn't end with our salvation. It is so much more. Follow along with me now, okay? The gospel begins with our salvation, but it doesn't end with our salvation. It is so much more. The gospel is not only Jesus dying to save us from our sins, but it's also Jesus coming to establish his kingdom on earth through us and the power of his Holy Spirit. Are you following along? The gospel is not only Jesus restoring our souls, but him also restoring the whole earth back to the Father. Let me tell you something. The gospel is more than just our individualistic salvation. The gospel is about Jesus recovering and restoring the calling for which we were created. We were all created for a calling that we lost in the disobedience and rebellion of Adam and Eve. But thanks be to the Father that he had a plan to send his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who was born on that first Christmas morning to reestablish his covenant with you and I. Are you following along? So Jesus not only came to bring new birth, but he also came to bring a new covenant, a new kingdom, a new multi-ethnic race of people, a new culture, a new civilization. It's bigger than just our individualistic salvation. Can we talk like family for a moment? The church has erred whenever we reduce the gospel down to just being a ticket to heaven. Hear me now. Because the gospel you teach gives you the disciple you get. And the church has erred whenever we preached that the gospel is only about getting a ticket to heaven. And so we get a lot of people who come to use God and think they got their ticket and then go about their business and never lay down their life for the kingdom of God. Remember this, the gospel you preach is the type of disciple you produce. And the gospel cannot be reduced down just to a ticket to heaven. My brothers and sisters, it's much bigger than that. It is grander than that. It's huge. I'm going to say this again. Jesus came not only to bring a new birth, but he also came to bring a new covenant, a new kingdom, a new multi-ethnic race of people. Did you know that the church is a new race of people in which Jesus has broken down the walls of partition and division and made us one family black, white, yellow, whatever background you come from, when you surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a part of this royal family that reflects the image of God. And this is the new civilization that the Lord Jesus was birthed to establish. This is why Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. So, my brothers and sisters, the gospel is the good news of the availability of the King Jesus and his kingdom. And so now we have to tackle the question, what is the kingdom? What is the kingdom? Because going back to Luke chapter 16, verse 16, Jesus says that since that time, the gospel of the kingdom of God has been preached. So we dealt with what the gospel is, but notice Jesus mentions the gospel of the kingdom of God, kingdom of God. So now we got to get an understanding, what is the kingdom? Someone say, what is the kingdom? Now, when you go to study the kingdom, you'll learn that the kingdom of God is the overarching theme of the entire Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. In fact, in the New Testament alone, the kingdom is mentioned over 80 times. Over 80 times. One scholar suggests that if we had to name the Bible, if we had to give a name to the Bible, we could rightfully name it the Book of the Coming Kingdom of God. The Book of the Coming Kingdom of God. As we seek to answer the question, what is the kingdom? The first thing that we need to kind of understand is that the prophets of old preached the kingdom. The prophets of old preached the kingdom. For example, in Psalms 145, verse 13, it says, your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. Right? So the prophets of old preached the kingdom. The kingdom was Jesus's main message. If we are followers of Jesus, again, we got to understand what was Jesus' main message. We got to know what was it that Jesus got stirred up about. What got him excited? What woke him up in the morning? Look at Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Listen to this. 4:43, Jesus says, I must, someone say must. I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. Notice this emphatic attitude of Jesus when he says, I must. He didn't say, I choose to do this. He didn't say, you know, you get to vote on this. No, he said, I must preach the kingdom of God. When you study the kingdom of God, you'll learn that the early disciples preached the kingdom. For example, in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, it says, but when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, what did they do? Look at the response to the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. Look at what they do. They were being baptized, men and women alike. What does that signify? They were pressing into the kingdom of God. Whenever the kingdom of God and the power of that name of Jesus is on display, men and women, young and old, press into that. The early disciples, they preached the kingdom of God, and men and women started flocking to them, insomuch that in the book of Acts, the unbelievers, when they saw the disciples walking into the city, they said, here comes them people who turned the world upside down. Why? Because they were demonstrating the kingdom of God, and everybody was going to them. Everybody was going to them. Someone say amen to that. Amen. So what is the kingdom of God? I want to remind you of a definition I gave you a couple weeks ago. This is a definition that I'm going to remind you about for this whole year, maybe even longer than that. So I want to encourage you to memorize this definition. I want to encourage you to write it down, because we're always going to refer back to this definition. I do want to say this, that there is no one definition that is sufficient enough to capture all that is in the kingdom of God, because the kingdom of God is too powerful, it's too dynamic, it's too titanic. You cannot confine the kingdom of God in one definition. So even though I'm giving you this definition to think about, I'm letting you know in advance it is insufficient. But as a teacher, to help you kind of think through this, to grasp it a little bit, I present to you this definition that I put together just for you as a result of my research on the kingdom of God. Someone say amen to that. So I did a lot of work to come up with this definition. But believe me, I read a lot of hard stuff where I said, what are you talking about? Right? And I put this together for you. Listen to this definition. The kingdom of God is God's alternative civilization amid the world's fallen civilization, ruled by his reign, his order, and presence. It's God's alternative civilization amid the world's fallen civilization, ruled by his reign, his order, and his presence. Let's think through that definition just a little bit. Let's think through this a little bit. The kingdom of God is God's alternative civilization. What does that mean? You remember Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world, right? So in other words, the kingdom of God is not like the world. The kingdom of God is different than the world. The world offers death, but the kingdom of God offers life. The world offers chaos, but the kingdom of God offers order. Right? So the kingdom of God, it's from heaven. It's not like this world. It's not from this world, but it is for this world. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? It is an alternative civilization. It is different. It is ruled different. It is different inside of it. The world offers sorrow. The kingdom offers joy. Someone say amen to that. But it's also ruled by his reign. Someone say reign. We talked a lot about this in the end of 2018, how in the kingdom of God, we don't have a mayor. We don't have a governor. In the kingdom of God, we don't even have a president. We have a king. Someone say king. And we pledge our allegiance to our king. Why? Because the call of the kingdom is the call to allegiance to the king. Right? The king demands that we break our loyalty oath to this world. In fact, the whole meaning of water baptism, when you get water baptized, you are declaring to the world that you break your loyalty oath to this world and you pledge your allegiance to the kingdom of God. And so we're learning what it means to have a king, right? I'm learning. What does it mean to have a king? Well, when a king says something, we do it. And so I'm learning not to push back on God. You got to pray for me as I pray for you, right? Because this, you know, gets kind of hard, right? When God tells you to do something, you want to argue with him. Hello, somebody, right? But how many know you can't argue with a king because he'll strike you down? Right? So Jesus is not our little buddy. Jesus is not our little buddy. He's our king. And we pledge our allegiance to our king and we serve at the pleasure of the king. So it's ruled by his reign. It is also ruled by his order. His order. Now, how many know that God is a God of order? Right? God has an order for everything about your life. God has an order for the way you think or the way you're supposed to think. God has an order for your marriage, how your marriage is supposed to be. God has an order for your finances. You know that God has an order for your finances? God has an order for your family. God has an order for the way you raise your kids. You know that God has an order for everything about your life. And if you follow the order of God, your life will begin to flourish. If you follow the order of God, your life will begin to flourish. If you come in alignment with the kingdom of God, your life will begin to flourish. I know this firsthand because when I first met Jesus, my life was broken, busted, and disgusted. I had nothing. I was doomed. I was messed up. I was totally out of order. And as I begin to follow the king, and as I begin to submit unto the king and press into the kingdom, he began to give me some order. Are you following along? The problem is, my brothers and sisters, is that we have too many Christians living their lives out of order. We got too many Christians living their lives out of order. And they're wondering why they're not being blessed. They're wondering why they're not getting a breakthrough. They're wondering why things are not happening in their life. And some of them, when they come up to me and they say, Brian, I've been coming to church. I've been doing this. And my life is still messed up. Why is it happening like this? And for some of them, I look at their life and I hate to tell you, my sister, I hate to tell you, my brother, you're still living out of order. You're still, I don't know, some of y'all are, now y'all, I'm just saying in general, right? Some of y'all are still getting drunk. Some are still smoking weed. Living life out of order. Still committing fornication. Still sleeping with every girl or every guy and wanting God to, God can't bless that. When you submit unto the Lord, he gives you an order, and when you follow that order, God will begin to flourish your life. Are you picking what I'm putting down? And so part of my role is to preach the gospel to get you in alignment with the kingdom of God. I shared this this example before, but I'm going to share it again. Me and my son, Nathaniel, he's 9 years old, and every once in a while, I'll take him to the arcade to round one in Lakewood, right? And we go and we have our favorite video game. It's called, we call it the tank game, right? Because we do battle on this tank game and we get excited. And oftentimes we get out of the car in the parking lot and we ain't got time to talk because we about to go on a mission, right? And we start walking to the mall, we walking. And when we get close to the mall, we pick up our pace. We pick up our pace. And then when we go up that escalator, we pick it up our pace. And when we get about 10 feet away from that game, because we're about to do battle, we almost start to run over there, right? And sometimes we go to that game and I look over and there's this big old white piece of paper taped to the screen that says out of order. Do you know how depressing that is? For Nathaniel. Do you know how much a bummer that is for Nathaniel? You know how much he wants to cry? Do you know how much he wants to complain and kick the floor? Running, getting ready, anticipating, and just to look, and there's this big old paper that says out of order. It's a bummer. Discouraging. My brothers and sisters. I wonder how many Christians, born again believers, are traveling and living this world with a big old sign over their head that says, out of order. I wonder how many of us in the spiritual realm have this taped to our forehead, and we may be saved, but we're out of order. We may be going to heaven, but we're not experiencing heaven right now because we're out of order. And you know, I wonder how frustrating that is to God to be looking over heaven and said, my son, my daughter, don't you know there's a revolution going on and you ain't got time to play games and be out of order? As we preach and teach the kingdom of God, I'm believing that the Holy Spirit will rip this off of some people's heads, and we'll come in alignment with the kingdom of God, and then we'll begin to flourish. Someone say, put me back in order. So it's ruled by his order, but it's also ruled by his presence. It's ruled by his presence. The kingdom of God is all about the dwelling of God. In fact, one of the themes of the Bible is God is with us. And the kingdom of God is all about not so much working for God, but living with God. That God wants to live in you. And he wants to live with you. And he wants you to enjoy his presence. In the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit is our oxygen. It is our all in all, and God wants us to lean on his presence more than anything else. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? So the kingdom of God is ruled by his reign, it's ruled by his order, and it's also ruled by his presence. Ruled by his presence. Now, I want to give you an image of the kingdom of God. We'll give you an image. If you have just come to Christ, you have just stepped in to the kingdom of God. If you've just come to Christ in these last couple years, you have just stepped in to the kingdom of God. You are now in the lobby of the kingdom of God. You're in the lobby. But the kingdom of God is large. It's gigantic. And the kingdom of God has an inheritance that is inexhaustible. In fact, the kingdom itself is inexhaustible. There are many rooms in the kingdom of God, and in each room has an aspect of your inheritance to possess. Are you following along? In one room is your joy. In another room is your purpose. In another room is your peace. In another room is your husband or your wife. Yeah. You don't need to look outside the kingdom of God for a spouse. Look inside the kingdom of God. Everything you need for life and godliness is in the kingdom of God. Now get this. There are also many levels of the kingdom of God to conquer. Right? So not only are there many rooms in the kingdom of God, there are many levels in the kingdom of God. And as you press on to another level, you experience a new dimension of your joy, a new dimension of your provision, a new dimension of breakthrough, a new dimension of healing, a new dimension of wholeness. The kingdom of God, the riches of Christ are inexhaustible. They're inexhaustible. And so my challenge for these 8 weeks is don't spend your life in the lobby of the kingdom. Don't spend your life in the lobby of the kingdom. Instead, press into the kingdom. Explore the kingdom. Knock down some doors in the kingdom. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? For some others, I'm challenging you. Don't spend your life on the first floor of the kingdom. Some of y'all have been on the first floor for 10 years. And I want to let you know that the kingdom of God is vast. It's titanic. It's dynamic. It's ever expanding. It is powerful. It is inexhaustible. There are many layers to the kingdom of God. And I want to challenge some of you this morning. Don't spend your life on the first floor of the kingdom of God, but press through to the second floor, because there's a new dimension of grace that God wants you to experience, a new dimension of power that God wants you to experience, a new dimension of forgiveness and wholeness that God wants you to experience in 2019. That's not on the first floor, but it's on the second floor. You better find that elevator. You better hit that button and you better wait there. Don't get distracted. Wait until that elevator comes down and get up into that elevator and go up to the second floor of the kingdom. It's inexhaustible. You got to press into it. As I close, I pray that some of us are not like that man I read about many years ago who spent all his money on a ticket to sell from England to the good old United States of America, the land of milk and honey. This man saved up all his money and bought a ticket. And the moment he went on that ship, he grabbed his stuff, didn't talk to nobody, didn't fellowship with nobody. He immediately went down to the luggage compartment of the ship, and he found a corner, and he sat there. And he pulled out a bag, pulled out some cheese, pulled out some milk, and he began to eat. And he stayed there for 10 whole days. He stayed sitting, eating lukewarm milk, bad cheese, and some crackers. And then finally, on the 10th day, he heard the whistle blow. They made it to the port of Los Angeles. So he gets excited. He gathers up his stuff. And as he's about to walk out of the luggage compartment, he sees a young baggage boy. And the young baggage boy looks at the old man. And he says, "What are you doing down here, sir? Why are you down here, sir?" And the young man looked at that old man looked at that young boy and said, "Sir, son, you don't understand. I spent all my money on this ticket. I spent all that I had to get on this ship. I didn't have enough money to go to that dinner that you went to. I didn't have have enough money to go explore that ballroom that you were dancing in. I didn't have enough money to lay my head on that bed in your cozy little room. I spent it all on this ticket, and I've been sitting here for 10 days waiting for my opportunity to get to the land of milk and honey. That young boy looked at that old man and said, "Sir, you don't understand. Everything was included in that ticket. Everything was included in that ticket. The ballroom, every dinner, every breakfast, the cozy little room that you dreamed about and talked about. All you had to do was to get up off your lazy cell and go up on there and explore everything that was for you. Don't you blame it on nobody that you stayed in the luggage compartment of the kingdom of God when there was everything to explore. Yeah, you're going to heaven, but you're going through a little bit of hell to get there that you don't need to. And so I'm challenging the church. Together, we are going to press in to the kingdom of God in 2019. Together, we're going to press into the kingdom of God. Let's bow our heads. With every head bowed and every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Just for a couple moments, I want to encourage us to reflect upon the Word of God. What is it that the Lord was trying to get across to you? What is it that the Lord was saying to you through this message? While everybody remains seated with every head bowed, let's reflect upon the Word of God. With every head bowed, maybe there's someone in here that either you need to surrender to the Lord for the first time, or you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. Maybe you got distracted. Maybe 2018 was a distraction, but today you want to recommit your life to the King. Today you want to get in alignment with the kingdom. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if there's anybody in here who needs to surrender to the Lord for the first time or rededicate your life to the Lord, I want to pray with you so that you start this new year strong. I'm going to ask that you just lift up your hand so I can pray with you. I see you. I see you. Anyone else? I see you. Keep your hands raised. I see you. Coming in alignment. Coming in alignment. Anyone else? I see you. For those who lifted up your hands, I'm just going to pray with you right where you're at. Right where you're at. And I'm going to ask that you just say this prayer from your heart. Lord God, I am sorry. I messed up. I got distracted, but today I turn back to you. I surrender my life to you. I surrender my heart to you. Everything about me, I surrender to you and your kingdom. Come into my heart as my Savior and my Lord, and help me to follow after you. In Jesus' name. Let me pray for all those that lifted up their hands. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are struggling, Lord. Father, those who lifted up their hands, I pray that you enlighten the eyes of their understanding. I pray that you give them the wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I pray that the eyes of their understanding be opened and that they may know the hope of your calling and what is the glorious riches of your inheritance in the saints alike. Help them, Father God, to press through 2019 in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand praise.